A reading from the prophet Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a rich feast and choice wines, juicy, rich food and pure, choice wines. On this mountain, God will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. God will destroy death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. The reproach of his people God will remove from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God, to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that God has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." The word of the Lord. I grew up in an Italian Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn. My boyhood memories go back to post-World War II, when there was a large influx of Jewish Middle Eastern Europeans from Poland and Russia, Czechoslovakia, Yugoslavia. They didn't speak English, many of them. They spoke Yiddish, and the neighborhood was filled with Yiddish on the streets and Yiddish radio programs, Yiddish spoken in the stores. And these new immigrants had numbers tattooed on their left arms. They were survivors of the Holocaust. Some survived because they found ways to steal food from the supplies. Others survived because parents denied themselves food for the sake of their children. They lived in desperation and did what they could to survive day by day. Besides the struggles and the tactics that we would presume they used in such situations, they did what seems to be impractical, something that had no obvious purpose, no tangible results, something that didn't get them any more to eat or any more water to drink or warm clothing. They talked about foods that they had cooked and foods that they would cook when they got out, despite the fact that most wouldn't get out, despite the fact of their personal losses and destructions of their families and friends. There's a story, too, that a group in a concentration camp even had a cookbook. They wrote the recipes from their families on little scraps of paper, and they saved them. Later, after the war, they were printed as a cookbook of the concentration camp people. A book written by starving, doomed prisoners, a people crushed by a brutal machine, so efficient a machine that it tattooed numbers on their bodies to identify them for work or for elimination. What good did it do then, when so many died? What good this talk of the future and of food that they didn't have and might never taste again? I think we can figure out the answer. It gave them hope. And in a way, they passed on their dreams to another generation that might survive. It gave them something to live for. As one survivor said, "Without hope, we would have all died." That hope kept their faith alive. Their faith that God was with them in their suffering and would never abandon them. These were people, after all, who chanted the Psalms in the railroad cars on the way to Auschwitz and prayed their prayers as they were being led into the gas chambers. Can't help but wonder whether we would have kept faith under such conditions right up to their inhuman ending. Makes us grateful that life hasn't tested us so severely. But life does test us, and sometimes severely, but mostly in daily ways, and it tests us all the time. Will we forgive? Will we share what we have with others, even strangers? Will we continue to donate our precious time and energies to those in need? And what will help us, as the expression goes, what will help us keep on keeping on, believing in a world that is so self-oriented, so self-promoting, believing and having faith in that world? In other words, what will give us hope that things could be any better? This reading from the prophet Isaiah sounds like one of those cookbooks written by people in concentration camps. Quote, a feast of rich food and choice wines, juicy, rich food, pure, choice wines. Makes you want to smack your lips. Sounds like the menu from an expensive restaurant. Isaiah is holding out promises to desperate people. They're hungry, and the promise is that God will feed them a feast. They're living in slavery, and the promise is that God will free them. They suffer under the consequences of their sins and their turnings away from God, and the promise is that God will, quote, remove their reproach. And they and we all live under the veil. All peoples, the prophet said, live under the web that is woven over all nations. It's death. And Isaiah promises, God will destroy death forever. To complete the picture, God will do all of this on God's holy mountain, the prophet says. In ancient days, mountains were the places kings and queens ruled from. Castles were built on mountains. The places of prominence, signs of power and control, visible to all subjects down below, a reminder of their subservience. For Isaiah, God will be on the mountain. It won't be a mountain for military purposes or for oppression, but a place where, quote, God's hand will rest, a place where God will feed our hungers, protect us, and overcome our dreaded enemy, death. It's no wonder in the gospel today that Jesus goes up to a mountain. From there, he's moved with compassion. He's not a king on a mountain exerting dominance and might over his subjects, but one who sees the needs of the people and provides them with what they can provide for themselves, healing and food. In Jesus, God is fulfilling the vision of Isaiah, and that's what God is doing for us here at Eucharist today. For a short time, we have come to this holy mountain. God has drawn strangers together. We're in need of forgiveness, and God's removed our reproach. We're hungry and thirsty for a food that sustains us in our faith. And we don't have to imagine food for some future time. God gives us the richest food, the choicest wine, here today. As God promised, God has fulfilled on this holy mountain. The veil that veils all people, that obscures our vision, is destroyed. We're well fed here. We're thankful here. We have hope here that one day all will gather at God's banquet. At God's banquet table, where there will be a feast we can only imagine.